this. Prayer book is, it's a gift from us for the retreat. You can take it at home, back home. So we have said the prayers. Verse 7. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of thy faithful, kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth the Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray, O God, to this instruct the heart of thy faithful by the light of the Holy Ghost. Grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Most Sacred Heart of Jesus,
have mercy on us.
Immaculate Heart of Mary,
pray for us.
Most Chaste Heart of Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
The Father and the Son of God. Maybe you can hear me at the back with a microphone? Yeah, okay, listo, okay. Bueno, first, a reminder, we have here three of you who doesn't hear English very well. So for the three of you who are not able to hear English, I will speak in English. To stay here after the conference, we have here 10 minutes to stay in Spanish. Lo voy a explicar en español a los tres que o cuatro que quieran estar que saben español. Les voy a explicar el resumen de la conferencia en inglés. Unos 10 minutos de resumen después de las oraciones para que se queden, ¿sí? En español. So we will put in Spanish summary of the conference at the end. So will be in English the conference, okay? So you will find in the Ignatius book, in the page 47, about the malice of sin. So you saw already with Father Hugo the three sins of the angels, sins of Adam and Eve, sins of mortal sins of any given name person. So now the next. Conferences on the infinite malice of mortal sin. ¿Sí? So remember the preparatory prayers and the methods that you have in your new book, how to follow the meditations. Remember to be generous, because this conference, this retreat, these graces are freely given to you. Is it why, if you notice, we don't charge, we just voluntary donations, because we want you to realize that this, we don't deserve to be here. So this is something, a great grace to be able to be here in this room, having this house, and we having the retreat. So it's a great grace, we don't deserve it. We don't have merit to have something like this, no one of us. So it's why we are obliged to bear fruits, to be generous. It's one of the bad habits that people have. take things for granted, no? These kind of things cannot you take it for granted. You have to take this retreat as it was the last retreat of your life, or if it was the only retreat of your life, as if it were the first retreat of your life. No? This goes for whatever we do, whatever we receive. Whatever we have, we don't deserve it. Even if you have a good job, you don't deserve that job or that money or the house you have. It's freely given by God. Just very important to just to know that. So the preparatory prayer, and after the first prelude, you will present yourself before God as a criminal appearing before his judge, about to hear the sentence. In fact, no, Saint Benedict, for monks, he asked, one of the practices for the monks is that each time that we walk, to remind ourselves that we are walking towards the judgment of God. What are the practices? Yes, so just to remind you, we have to try things and means to excite in us fervor, love of God, fear of God, contrition. How to think in the last things, no? So you can take that as a something that we do as monks, and you could do also. So each time that you walk, you see yourself as a criminal with chains, walking towards your sentence before your judge. The second prelude, I groan in thy sight as one guilty. Shame hath covered my face because of my sin. Spare, I supplant, oh my God. So first, on page 48. So we consider attentively the greatness of God, so who is offended, and at the same time, the nothingness of each one of us as sinners. The great meditation. So first, so we meditate on the greatness of God, who is offended. So let's consider the greatness of God, who he is, that nations before him are as a drop of water, the universal is as a grain of sand, the whole of human race is nothing, as nothing. Isaiah, no? Behold, the Gentiles are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the smallest grain of a balance. Behold, the islands are as a little dust. All nations are before him as if they had not been at all. Remember, this is humility. To live in the presence of God, considering that he is infinite, great in majesty, and we are nothing. Yes. This is the practice of Saint Benedict also for humility. That you are in the presence of God. You try to foster that thought by faith constantly. And for that reason, silence is the most powerful aid to keep to be in the presence of God. Just think about this. Silence is because God is speaking to you. So you, by knowing that, you are receptive, you are learning, you are obedient, you are at the service of God. You don't want to impose, you don't want to teach without God's permission or God's authority giving you the order by charity to speak, you know, or by prudence, or by duty. So it was silence is one of the greatest means to achieve the presence of God. You remember, people in the world try to do the opposite. Always the TV set on, and music, and noisy, and the radio. They want the contrary. They want to appease the conscience and to shut up God speaking. It's not coincidence that the world is very noisy. Because silence precisely is the environment of humility, or acknowledging God is speaking to me, he's in charge of the situation, so I will keep silent unless God wants me to speak. Yes, it's one of the great helps of the monasteries. In a monastery, silence is essential. Yes. Is it, I would say one of the main mortifications of Catholics, to learn how to keep silence. The monastic father said that it's more difficult to learn how to keep silence than to learn a language. Yeah, it's more difficult to learn silence than to learn Spanish, French, Italian. Yes. So also, who is like to God in holiness? In his eyes, the just, the very saints, appear defiled. The heavens are not pure in his sight, Job. He even finds sin in his angels, and in his angels he found wickedness. Also, who is like him in justice, in wisdom, in goodness? Remember when our Lord said to the young man, why do you call me good? He said, Master, you are a good master. Why do you call me good? Yes. The only who can be called good is God himself. Yes. The Psalm 35, thy justice is as the mountains. Of his wisdom there is no number, Psalm 146. All things are naked and open to his eyes. The Lord is sweet unto all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So finally what St. Michael said, who is like unto God? No? Who has lived for all eternity? His name is who I am, who I am. So nobody can give existence by God only. God gives existence to things for nothing. Heaven is my throne and earth my footstool. Isaiah 66. His palace is delight. His vestments are beauty and glory. His carriage the clouds and the winds of the wind. Wings of the wind. And this is he whom the sinner has there to offend. Yes. This is why is it the next point, the nothingness of sinners, of each one of us. Who art thou, O man, who dare to measure thyself with God? Who art thou that replies against God? Romans 9. This is very deep. This is just to give an example. This is, we don't do it in practice. For example, when you receive an order of obedience, you have to obey something. You're obliged to think that commandment comes from God. The right authority coming to you. So you cannot challenge that. You cannot complain. You cannot go against it. So imagine Father Hugo says, next conference, 4:15. You cannot say, no, 4:20 is surely fine. You cannot. So who are we to challenge God? No? So it's why we cannot see the human aspect of things. Unless it's sinful, yes, okay, we don't obey. But otherwise, we always see the divine aspect of things. Yes. For example, you should think that the Holy Ghost speaks through you, to you, to the, in the conferences, in spite of the person who is in front of you, no? In spite of everything. But we don't have this habit. I want you to develop those habits. To see the hand of God everywhere. The climate, for example. So, Lord, thank you. Lord, you decided today, like hot like this. Yes, Deo gracias. Thank you, Lord. So to start living behind those bad habits of complaining, of being not agreeing, not being agreeing. You know? Why beans today and not tomorrow? Well, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No, what happened? It's God's divine providence. Thou art but flesh, full of impurities. Behold the corruption of thy nature, as dry grass ready to fall beneath the city. All flesh is grass, Isaiah. Also behold our weakness. We are like a leaf of the sport of the wind. Job, a leaf that is carried away with the wind. So behold our inconstancy of heart. So it is a vapor which appear for a little while and afterwards shall vanish away. Yes. Even if we impose our will, that will not last. That will disappear. And they will have chastisement, punishment. You see, vanity of vanities, Solomon says, vanity. All that is purely human is vanity. My ways, things, you know, I like. We are little dust and ashes. So behold our origin. The Ecclesiasticus, dust and ashes, yes. Thou hast lifted thyself up against the Lord of heaven, and thou hast said, I will not serve. Yes, Daniel against him, you know, speaking about Satan. So also the next point is the matter of the sin we commit. So we have transgressed the will of God, the law of God. A law which is infinitely pleasing, infinitely wise. The order of God is infinitely wise. A law, the accomplishment of which was not easy. A law to which we were attached such consoling promises, such as terrible threats also. For time and eternity. So to go away from the order God has settled on the world is temerity, craziness, no? It happens each time we commit a sin. We do something different than God's will, God wants. We disorder God's order. We put disorder. So the next point is the motive of the sin. The reason. Isaiah, to whom have you likened me? So to a passion at which we blush, to a pleasure that we pass so quickly, to a little gold that melted in your hands. Did you not find in me all your vainly seek? Did you not find in me all your vainly seeking creatures? It's lack of faith, precisely. It's when our Lord in the Gospel speak about having lack of faith. It's when we seek something outside God. Yes. Because if we have faith, we will not be seeking anything are all outside God. Everything in His will, in His law. With me are riches and glory. Glory, riches, and justice, Proverbs 8. Why then drink these corrupt waters? And now, what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt to drink the troubled water? Yes, these waters only increase our thirst. Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. So the next consideration is, so a God offended by men and offended in all His attributes. Yes. So what is it? What do you do when you commit a mortal sin? This outrage towards God, in all His titles and in all His perfections. So we outrage God the Father, profanating His supernatural being, because we are partakers of His divine nature. Yeah, we profanate whatever is divine, remember. So we had divine gifts in us, like supernatural grace. We have a faith, hope, charity, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Our body has been consecrated to God also. So would you also outrage the Word incarnate? You dishonor Him in rendering subservient to the devil your soul. You trample His blood underfoot and make His sufferings and death useless. You renew His passion and crucify Him again in your heart. Well, Saint Paul to the Hebrews, crucifying again to themselves the Son of God. Also, you outrage the Holy Ghost. Saint Paul, no? You cause grief to the Holy Ghost. You always resist the Holy Ghost. The Acts of the Apostles. Extinguish not the Holy Ghost. Also, we outrage God in all his titles. As Creator, in revolting against His supreme dominion. As legislator, by violating His laws. As Redeemer, by despising His grace. As our friend, by provoking His enmity. We also revolt against His fatherhood, by challenging His authority. We revolt against His kinship by banishing Him from our hearts, which is His throne. Also by sin, we outrage His unity. You made divinities of your passions, which have your heart for an altar. Your thoughts and affections are as an homage, your soul and your eternity as a sacrifice. Very clear, beautiful thoughts here. You outrage His infinite perfections. To Him you prefer a creature full of imperfections. You prefer yourself. We prefer serving the devil. So we outrage his wisdom also by sin. So by sin, you reverse the order of his divine providence. You turn creatures away from their end, and you destroy the harmony of the universe. Also, we outrage his holiness by sinning, because we dishonor his features in our soul, and we cast his image down in the mire of our passions and vices. So we outrage his immensity. If men were to witness your sin, their presence would recall you to your duty. You know that God is everywhere present, that you commit iniquity under his eyes and, as it were, in his bosom. And yet the presence of God, thrice holy, does not deter you from crime. It's a horrible thought, yes. His infinite holiness and purity and he's contemplating our sins. We outrage his justice. If sin could destroy your fortune or your reputation, you will not commit it. And because expose you only to the anger of God, to the rigor of his judgment, you commit it without fear, as if we were had nothing to dread for his justice. Also, by mortal sins, we outrage his patience. Well, also by venial sins, right? You know the difference. Venial sins are also serious, but they can be easily forgiven, no? Whereas mortal sin, we need confession or a perfect contrition, which are very difficult, no? But still, we cannot rely upon sacraments only, because we want to change our life, no? So we outrage his patience. If God left no intervals between the crime and the punishment, if there were no span of time between both, would you dare to offend him? So this is the craziness that St. Thomas Aquinas speaks. He says that he could never understand something. Even he wrote the Summa Theologica, the greatest wiser doctor on the church. St. Thomas says, there is one thing I never was able to understand. He said, how is it possible that someone, a Catholic, is going to, how is it possible that he will sleep overnight in mortal sin without asking pardon for his sin? He said, I cannot understand that, he said. So why so much outraging his patience? So he said, we go still further. We are guilty of thy sight. Because Saint Bernard said, sin as far as it is possible to it destroys God. So it is true that we cannot destroy God, but you do so in your heart. Why? Because the contempt you offer to his perfections occasions him such lively displeasure that he will die of it if by his nature he were not impassible and immortal. Why? Because in preferring a vile creature for him, you take from him the very essence of his being, that sovereign amiability that deserves to be loved above all things. Why? Because in consenting to sin, we deprive God of the life he lived in our soul. We make him die within us. It may truly be said that your heart is his grave. Yes. Be astonished, O ye heaven, at this, Jeremiah 2. So consider now many reasons there are to induce us to remain in submission to God. So first, our respect for our fellow creatures. You are so small, so humbly submissive before your masters, in presence of the sovereign of an enemy, of a powerful protector. You bow down before their most unreasonable notions, their most absurd caprices. How is it that you are daring only against God, the first of masters, the most powerful of protectors, the most formidable of enemies? Also, we will change what we exalt from the others. So you are so tenacious of your authority, you are so jealous of your honor and your rights, you insist with so much eagerness that all should give you way before your ideas and your will. But how is it then that you respect so little the authority, these rights, and the honor of God? So this is humility. So this is why our Lord said, why do you see the spike in the other's eyes? You don't see the beam in your own eye. Yes. Also the sacrifices you make for the world, the promises you have made to God, the benefits you have received from God. Yes, remember, we hold everything from God: intelligence, imagination, heart, senses, talent, fortune, authority, birth, rank, youth, life. So it means that we can sin only by making use of his gifts. So we misuse his gifts. What a black ingratitude is it? Not only to forget our benefactor, but also returning him evil for good. To make use of his own gifts to insult him. To force him to act against himself and to turn against himself his own bounty and power, which preserve you in this moment. Thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thy iniquity. You see, it's very powerful in this meditation. How far goes sin? How great is the malice of sin? So the retreat, that's the purpose of the retreat, that you renew in your mind, in your will, the awareness of your faith, of the reality of our faith, how much we have been gone far from God, how much we have dared to offend him, how much sorrow we should have, how much penance and reparation we should offer to God for our sins. So you notice precisely, this is what Saint Jonas the Cross said the following. He said, the further we are from sin, yes, the closest we are to God. And the further we go, we grow in love of God. So he said that in the Blessed Virgin Mary, for example, always in her life, in her actions, was an infinite distance between sin and virtue and grace. Because she was faithful to God every second, every minute, every moment in her life. In Mary, always was an infinite distance in practice, not only in doctrine, but also in practice, in the real life. She rejected sin with all her might, all her capacities and strength, and she stayed fulfilling the first commandment towards God always, and with the whole strength and the whole powers of the soul, mind and love, you know. But for us, the farther is seen from us, the farther we go to God, we arrive to God. So we go to grow in holiness, basically. So Señor de Cruz says, this is why he who commits habitual sins, for that person, the difference between good and evil is not much distance, because they prefer very easily creature or bad habits or themselves to God. So in the sense, as infinite distance between good and evil in their lives. But in us, if we are sinning willingly, often, there is not too much distance between good and evil. This is why the lukewarm, God vomits the lukewarm out of his mouth. Because we commit venial sins so easily, so often, out of malice, out of vice, without being fighting against it. So we are lukewarm. Means for us, evil and good is the same level. Sometimes I prefer this, sometimes I prefer God. So it's the same for me, the same level. It's ecumenism in the practical level. Yes. This is why it's so important for the retreat, the first 3 days, is to put before our eyes the realities of our faith concerning the sin, the last things, hell, particular judgment, general judgment, death. To realize how great evil is sin, and how important it is to detach and to fight back and to get rid of our sinful habits and creatures. So lastly, so the last topic we have to speak is confessions. So you are going to start preparing for a confession. Father Hugh is going to tell you more details. I don't want to explain you about the sacraments, so the sacrament of confession. It's our Lord, it's a sacrament instituted by our Lord with the purpose of washing your soul with his blood. Yes, washing out. So it's a contact with our Lord. So this is why you receive, by this contact with the blood of Christ in confession, you receive automatically an increase in love of God, in faith, in hope, in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. It's like communion. It's a direct contact with our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. So in confession, the most important element in confession, and you remember your catechism, is contrition for your sins, so sorrow for your sins. From the amount of sorrow from your sins depends on how many graces you are going to receive in your confessions. So it's the remote matter, essential matter, sorrow. In such a way that if you don't have sorrow in a given confession, you commit a sacrilege. Yes. Someone confessing sins without sorrow at all is a sacrilege. And you don't receive absolution. So it's a mortal sin, basically. This is why always try to use most of your available time when you prepare for confession in awakening sorrow for your sins. It's what the conference is. So in the future, when you are going to back to the world, and you know, I go to confession on Sunday with Father, okay, 3 days before you start preparing your confession by first exciting sorrow. Ah, the conference, I have to see my notebook. What Father said about sin, about death, about hell, about judgment, about death. Oh, yes, wow, terrible, very good. So you start remembering. You awake sorrow, and after that you start doing your, precisely, writing down your sins. Yeah, how many sins and how the kind of sins you committed. So it says, the proximate matter of confession is your sins, what you are going to confess, but the remote and more important is the sorrow that you have. So also for the amount of sorrow that you have in your confession depends how much purgatory is blown out from your soul, how much you are going to pay off your purgatory. It depends upon the amount of sorrow. Also depends upon the penance. If you fulfill it with great sorrow also, with a great spirit of reparation, yes, also the between the penance and the sorrow, both together, blot out your purgatory, the debts that you owe to God for the damage done to God by your sins. Because remember, sin is a double debt to God. So, sin causes an offense to God and causes a damage to God's order and dignity. And so the offense is forgiven, yes, by God. In case of venial sins, by our Father and the Rosary and holy water with sorrow, is enough to receive the forgiveness of your venial sins. Venial means easily forgotten by God. So venial sins, God forgives them easily, but doesn't mean that we can commit it easily. No, we should not commit at all sins. No? But the mortal sin, yes, we need to be forgiven by God. We need confession or perfect contrition, with the purpose of going to confession. So it is regarding the offense. The offense is the way you receive the forgiveness for the offense against God for your sins. But the second part of the debt is the damage caused by your sins to the order and to the dignity of God, to the glory of God. The damage done has to be repaired. So the way to repair the damage done is by your sorrow, your penance, your crosses offered up, your indulgences, the alms, the acts of mercy, all those good works help you to pay off the debt out to the God for our sins. So this is why this is the sacrament of confession. Also, you remember you had to fulfill your penance as soon as you finish your confession, you are out of the confessionary. As soon as possible. Huh? Imagine that the mass is right away and you cannot fulfill the penance. You can go to communion. Yes, you can go to communion. You cannot fulfill it. God never demands impossible things, you know, because you are cleansed already. And you have the purpose of fulfilling your penance, so you can go to communion. Don't have the scruple of waiting until next communion. No? And remember never to hide anything from the priest. It's a secret between you and Christ. The priest cannot reveal at all. No, it's impossible. We must die first before we reveal anything. We cannot even use the information that we have in confession for another purposes. So imagine that someone confess that he placed a bomb in this room. I cannot use that information after confession, to say, hey, it's a bomb here. No, even that, we cannot reveal the information. We cannot use information even, or confession, for our daily life. You have to know that, of course. You know that, I know, but it's very important, this subject of secret of confession, because you must reveal all your soul with confidence to the priest, you know, because you are backed up by this very serious subject of the secrecy of confession, which even nobody can absolve from that sin. Only the Pope will absolve from that sin. And the priest is excommunicated, no, automatically. So it's very serious. Secret of confession is very serious. So you know, you have to have this confidence always, yes. One of the gravest sins in history is to reveal sins, of course. You know that. So basically, this is the two topics that we were touching on. So I will stay with the Spanish people for 5-10 minutes, and the rest will go after the prayers. Yeah? Okay.